from the book of Ezekiel. We're going to use chapter 37, beginning in verse 1. Hopefully we can get through all 10 verses that I want to look at this morning. And our subject is dead bones made alive. But if you'll follow me, you'll see where I'm going with this portion of the Word of God. In the 37th chapter of Ezekiel, we'll begin in verse 1. Now, let me say first of all that when we study this chapter of Ezekiel, we know that it is literally a prophecy about the restoration of Israel. And when Ezekiel prophesied about what he shows us here, we actually realize today as God's people that we are living in a time when we are actually able to see the beginnings of the unfolding of Ezekiel's prophecy. I mean, 100 years ago, nobody would have ever imagined that the state of Israel would ever exist again. But 1948 changed all that. And today we live in an era when we see, slowly but surely, one step at a time, the nation of Israel refounded. It's its own state now. It's a sovereign state, sovereign nation. And we're seeing it begin to amalgamate, if you will, to grow together as a Jewish people. Solidarity is one of the great features of Israel today. And what do you think that's all about since heretofore, up to this time, there's no indication whatsoever that they will ever accept Messiah, Jesus Christ. But the Bible tells us that they will. And Ezekiel prophesies of a day that will come in the last part of this chapter. And so we have here a prophecy of Ezekiel from Ezekiel that really is about the restoration of Israel from the first verse to the last. But we also recognize that although there's a literal message in this chapter, we recognize that like a lot of other Old Testament writings, this prophecy of Ezekiel has multiple messages in it. And I'm almost certain that any of you old-timers that are here have heard preachers preach from this portion, at least the first 10 verses of this chapter, about several things relative to the new birth and relative to a church being stirred up again and refreshed after it's fallen into a state of almost spiritual deadness. You've heard preachers preach about, used this as a message about the conversion of lost people, that transformation that takes place when God awakens them to newness of life and breathes into them the new birth and they begin their Christian career. So you've heard messages about that from these verses. And all these subjects can really be seen in a type in this chapter, especially, as I said, in the first 10 verses. But there's also another message to be seen in these verses, and that message is what I want us to look at this morning. The message is about people of God, really about our church, because that's the way I want us to think about it this morning. Our church in the midst of a dead and dying world represented by the Valley of Dry Bones. And what is our role as we interact with the lost, the dead of this world? What do we see our role as being? Because I really believe that a lot of sovereign grace churches today have gotten themselves in trouble with God because of a lack of attention to the valley of dry, dead bones. I believe we get in trouble with God when we leave our first love. And our first love is love for the Lord Jesus Christ and His gospel message. If we leave that or drift away from it, I believe we get in trouble with God. And so I want us to look at Ezekiel's account here and think about that as we look beginning in verse 1 as he says, "The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. Every time you look around yourself today, you cannot help, if you're conscious at all about the spiritual desert that we live in America, every time you think about the spiritual drought that's going on in America, you must feel much like Ezekiel, where he says, I looked around and there were very many dead, dry bones. We're in that case in this country. You might say, well, Brother Myers, hey, we've got religion on every corner. That's the problem we've got today. We've got a whole lot of religion and very little genuine connection with God. There's a problem with that. Those bones were the remains of some human folks, brothers and sisters, but they certainly had no connection to the human life from whence they came. And that's the situation that we live in today. Now notice that he says, the hand of the Lord was upon me, and the hand of the Lord carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord, and the hand of the Lord set me down in the midst of that valley which was full of dry bones. And the hand of the Lord carrying me there caused me to pass by those dry bones round about as I looked at them. Notice the action that the Spirit of God, that the movement of God upon Ezekiel did in taking him there and causing him to review what he was looking at. Listen, brothers and sisters, let me say first of all that when we start thinking about our behavior, our action, our commitment, what we need to do as God's people here at Harmony, the first thing that this verse of Scripture teaches us is that it takes the Lord's intervention in our lives to get our attention about spiritual death that's all around us. If you feel kind of like distracted today about all of the dead folks that are around you, listen, you're not alone. A lot of God's people today are so taken aside, so distracted by living the life they live and doing the things they do and having the responsibilities that they have and the job that they must get done and the business they must take care of and the family they must raise, that they've lost sight of the dead all around them as they live in this great United States. And so it takes the Lord intervening. I don't believe Ezekiel would have paid any attention at all to that valley of dry bones if God hadn't taken him there by the Spirit and hadn't caused him to pass by all of those dry bones. If he hadn't set him down in the middle of that valley. So brothers and sisters, the first thing God's people need today, the first thing that Harmony Church needs is for God to set us down in a place where we can contemplate the lost in our community and get some serious thinking done about it. We got lost people out there on every hand. As far as I can tell, and I pray for them, but as far as I can tell, there's not one saved person within sight of my house. Now, I don't judge a man, and I'm not a fruit inspector, but none of them go to church. What else can I assume from that? If they don't care enough about the Lord Jesus Christ to go to church, odds are they don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, when I look around me, I see a bunch of lost folks. How about you? I believe you may feel the same way. You may know it to be true. And so, we need to get concerned about it. Ezekiel would have set off over yonder somewhere and done his day's business without any concern at all if the Lord's hand hadn't got a hold of him and taken him to that place. So first we need God's hand to reach down and deal with us as His people here at Harmony, or we're going to be sitting like Ezekiel off somewhere else and not overly concerned about what's going on with the valley of dead dry bones. It's the Spirit of the Lord, brothers and sisters, that's going to move us away from where we are right now. And believe me, I understand clearly where we are, and I believe you do too. We see that we have a hard time even thinking about visiting and witnessing to folks. We see that as a church, we have a hard time about getting anybody interested that come to church services here as a visitor. We see that this church has a hard time even keeping members interested enough to make sure they're faithful to all the services of God. We got problems. And I believe every one of us that have a sincere interest in serving God know we got problems. So what do? We think about Ezekiel here. And let's think of the fact that we, like him, need the hand of the Lord to stir us up, to get upon us and carry us out in the Spirit of God and set us in the place where we can see and sense the awfulness of the valley of dry bones that we are in as God's people here at Harmony in this part of Tennessee. Now notice also, verse 3, "And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest." You know, today, brothers and sisters, when we're faced with the relative deadness of the spiritual vigor that ought to exist in the saints of God, and when we're faced with the worldly mindedness and the habit of pursuing earthly things that carnal people, lost people naturally pursue, when we're faced with those two things, the lack of spiritual vigor and the spiritual deadness in lost people around us, when we're faced with that and those earthly pursuits that we see on every hand that everybody's doing and how we're drawn away to follow after them, we really seem to have lost our bearings about this valley of dead bones. We seem to have lost our spiritual focus on the fact that we've got a world of lost folks and we're not doing anything about it. Haven't we lost our focus when we get to that place? And I believe that's what this verse represents. Think about this prophet for just a minute and how he answered God. O Lord God, thou knowest whether or not these dry bones can live. Listen, brothers and sisters, this man was a man of faith just like we have professed to be. And yet this man of faith, in answering God, when God said, tell me something, do you think these dry bones can live? This man of faith said, only you know, Lord. And, you know, in grammar we have an understood word or phrase often. Understood in that phrase, that sentence would be, I don't. Only you know, Lord, I don't. This is a man of faith speaking. And isn't that the way we get as God's people when we allow ourselves to drift away from the contemplation about the dead folks around us, those that are dying and falling headlong into hell, those that are rejecting our Lord? Isn't that the way we get when we get so distracted, so absent-minded about the things of God, so careless about the purpose of God, so uncaring about the spread of the gospel? Don't we get the same way as Ezekiel must have been here, and we contemplate whether or not folks are going to get saved? We say, you know, Lord, I don't. Isn't that the way we get? I believe we do. And I believe that's what Ezekiel is showing us here. We lose sight of the spiritual power of God, and we tend to say just like Ezekiel, O Lord God, thou knowest. But brethren, I ask this question as I church here today. Rather than to answer that way, and I'm not dissing Ezekiel for answering that way. We let him and God settle why he answered, Lord God, thou knowest. Because I believe that is not an answer from Ezekiel born of a confidence in God. It's an answer born of a man realizing how helpless he was. And that's a good thing. It has a message for us about our helplessness before God when it comes down to the leading of souls to Christ, when it comes down to whether or not somebody's going to be saved as a result of us being present or being active We are left totally upon God. But there's something more that that phrase, that statement from Ezekiel teaches us. It teaches us that Ezekiel wasn't looking to God and having confidence in God's power. He was thinking of his helplessness. Brethren, I believe that our answer concerning these dead bones that we live amongst today ought to be something more than that. And maybe like Brother Paul answered in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 13, because he spoke about why he was speaking to the children, to the Corinthian church, and he was speaking about why that he was talking to them and why he had witnessed to them and how he preached the gospel to them. And he said, we having the same spirit of faith according as it's written, I believe, and therefore have I spoken. We, Paul says, those of us who are preaching to you Corinthian brethren, we also believe and therefore speak. And maybe that needs to be our answer. Do we believe enough to speak to the lost? Do we believe enough to say something besides, Lord, you know whether they can be saved or not? Paul came amongst those Corinthian brethren with much fear and trembling. But he was relying upon God to get the job done. And God did just that. Now Ezekiel says, Lord God, thou knowest. Ezekiel acknowledged that this one to whom he was speaking was Lord. Lord God, thou knowest. He acknowledged that this was the Lord. He acknowledged that this Lord was the God. Oh Lord God, thou knowest. But with all of that acknowledging of who God was, he wasn't looking toward God's power to convert. He was looking at something else. And that's the way we do sometimes. Brothers and sisters, do we as a little church down here, do we hesitate and draw back from witnessing the souls? Do we hesitate and draw back from conducting a witnessing program here out of this church because we're little and we're weak and, oh Lord God, thou knowest, I don't. Is that what's happening? Is that what has happened to us? Listen to me, brothers and sisters. We don't want to get where Ezekiel's claim or statement seems to be coming from. We want to realize that God is quite able to raise dry bones from the dust, bring them to newness of life. That's the approach we need to use. And I want to tell you something, brothers and sisters. If you have an opportunity to witness to somebody, don't go out there and say in your heart, or out loud, or any other way. Don't go out there and say, well, I'm gonna witness, I'm gonna pass out tracts, but I know nothing's gonna come of it. If you do that, you're already in trouble, and you're where Ezekiel was standing that day when he said, oh Lord God, thou knowest. Understood, I don't. You're already there. It's a bad place to be. It's a place where we're not looking with eyes of faith, but we're looking with lack of confidence born of looking at any strength of man or any capability of man. And that's the wrong place to be. Now, look at verse 4. Ezekiel's going on here. Again, he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Here's God's explanation. God reveals to us right here a couple of things about our witness, our testimony, our preaching. And that is this, first of all, that our responsibility toward lost people is to the Lord. What does he say right here at the start of this verse? Again, he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones. Prophesy upon these bones and say unto them. Whose ministry, who is Ezekiel supposed to be ministering to first here? Why, the Lord. Because the Lord's the one who gave him the charge and said, Ezekiel, go prophesy to these bones that are here before you. And brothers and sisters, the same thing exists with us. We have been given a commission from God to go ye therefore and teach all nations. It's a charge from God. And so our prophecy, our teaching, our preaching, first of all, is to the Lord. He said unto me. Nobody else was there that day, just Ezekiel. And God said to Ezekiel, it's your job, Ezekiel. It's your duty. I want you to do thus and thus. And that's exactly what the Lord said to us. It's your job, Harmony Church. It's your duty. This is exactly what I charge you to do. The Lord Jesus said it one day long ago, and we read it recorded in the book of Matthew chapter 28, when He told us to go. And we, brothers and sisters, need to go, just like God charged Ezekiel to preach to those dry bones. But I want you to notice also this verse shows us something else really important, and that is the actions that God commands us to take. This go ye therefore, brothers and sisters, this action that we are bidden to take by the Lord must be toward the spiritually dead. What am I saying? I'm saying you can preach to the thin air all day long and nothing's going to happen. You got to get the ears of dead folks if you're trying to witness about the saving power of Jesus. That's what I'm saying. That's what God has shown us here in Ezekiel's, in His charge to Ezekiel. He said, prophesy upon these bones. And so our actions have to be toward the spiritually dead. And there's two parts to that. If there's no prophesying, no bones will hear. And if the prophesying isn't to the bones, no bones will hear. And so, brethren, if we don't go, then the bones don't hear. And I want to tell you something. The second part of that is plentiful. There's plentiful supply. All we've got to do is get out there and visit some folks or meet with some folks that we meet on the street or knock on some doors. And you can be assured that a lot of the people that look you in the face in times like that are dead, dry bones, not knowing the Lord God of grace. Yes? We hear a lot of, oh, I go to church down here at so-and-so. We even hear a lot of, yeah, I'm saved. But from those mouths that say that, a lot of times it's either a straight-out lie or people are deceived in imagining that they are saved folks. And so we have to preach to those dry bones. We have to witness to those dry bones. Now notice also that here in verse 4, there's no promise at all from God that those dry bones are going to live. Up to this point right here, no promise that they're going to live. God didn't say, Ezekiel, preach to these dry bones and I'm going to make them live. No, at this point in our conversation between the Lord and Ezekiel, He says, prophesy unto these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. That's as far as He got in that verse, isn't it? That's as far as the conversation has gone. And listen, brothers and sisters, let us realize, let's get this in our heads, that when we go with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and we preach those dry bones, God does not have to guarantee us any results that we can see. And most of the time, for any of you that's done any visiting, done any witnessing, you know that a lot of times you walk away from there totally uncertain about whether God is going to do anything or not. And so, like Ezekiel, we just have the commission. We have the charge. We have the commandment from the Lord. We have the responsibility upon us. We have the duty, that's our obligation, to witness, to reach those dead, dry bones and leave the rest up to God. So God's one statement to Ezekiel is that the prophecy that He prophesied upon those dry bones. Now, I believe that here He also teaches us how the use of the Word of God among the dead, the lost, the undone, is a very personal, even an what I would call an intimate act. Notice what the Holy Scripture chose to use as the wording in this command to Ezekiel. He says to Ezekiel, prophesy upon these bones. Now, God could have said, Ezekiel, prophesy at these bones. Or stand up on this little knoll over here and prophesy out across this valley that's filled with dry bones. But he didn't say that. He said, prophesy upon these bones. Upon, brothers and sisters. And I want to tell you something God teaches us here, that as a church, when we make it our business to reach out to the lost, we want to make it as personal as we can. We want to get down to the nitty-gritty with that person we have the ear off for a few minutes. And we want to make it personal how we present the things of God to them. We want to reach out and, as it were, by the Spirit of God, touch that dry bone that we speak to. Prophesy upon these bones. We're about out of time. I want to look at one thing from 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I want to show you something that really brings home this idea of personalizing our responsibility to preach Christ to that valley of dead, dry bones. The Apostle Paul is writing here, and in this he gives us a wonderful vision of a personal way that he preached to those Corinthian brethren. Thy brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Isn't that personal? Then I get right down to the... He met these people on a one-to-one level. He spoke to these people on a one-to-one level. He reached out to their souls, even though he was shaken from the challenge of the task. He reached out to these people as a man who was weak just like they were weak, as a man who didn't have any spectacular oratory skills. He didn't have anything at all except one thing. He determined when he went that all he needed was this one thing, to preach Christ and Him crucified. And when we as God's people are called upon to the Lord to preach, to prophesy upon those bones, let's remember Paul's example here. And let's get personal with our preaching. Let's get personal with the person that we're witnessing to. And there's a way to do that. And some of us have learned to do that. And sometimes we forget to do that. But whatever the case, let's get personal down with those that we're witnessing to about the power of the Lord. If there's one thing Ezekiel's experience there in the valley of dry bones ought to teach us, it ought to teach us that God says, this action, this work of yours, this charge, this duty of yours is something that should be an intimate connection between you and those dead. Prophesy upon these bones, says the Lord. In Ezekiel chapter 37, remember this morning we looked at verses 1 through 4, and I'm going to read those to bring us up to snuff on where we are for continuing on down through this chapter. We'll try to get all the way through verse 10 in our observations about Ezekiel's message to us. The hand of the Lord was upon me, says Ezekiel, and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones. And you remember this morning my main point about this verse was that God's people take little account for dead people that are dead in trespasses and in sins around them unless God Himself is gracious enough to take some action to wake us up to the reality and the the woe of the situation of mankind around us. And when God does do that, like Ezekiel, we look around and we can see what's there, and it's not hidden from us, and we're not distracted by something else and unable to see. But just like Ezekiel looked around and saw that he was in a valley of dry bones, so it is when God deals with us and takes a hand in an active hand. People today like to say proactive. I don't know if there's anything more active about proactive than there is about active. But the truth of the matter is, God takes an active hand, as he did with Ezekiel, and he carries us out to a spiritual place where we can see the lost around us, and that's when we'll get concerned. But we won't until, because we have difficulty comprehending how things really are. If we get too caught up in the things of our own life, we lose sight of the Great Commission and what we're bound to do in service to the Lord. He says in verse 2, he caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. And you remember, I pointed out about this verse this morning that this is the kind of spiritual state we get into. We get to the place where Ezekiel was at, and I don't know why Ezekiel was there. Didn't try to speculate on why, but we find Ezekiel at a loss for the kind of faith in God that could have given him another answer that would have been something like this. Lord, you can do anything. And I believe that you can make these bones live. Ezekiel didn't say that. He said, O Lord God, thou knowest. And that's kind of like our fainting phase that we get in sometimes, where we literally, if you will, we give up on the lost. Those that valley of dry bones in our lives, we give up on them. And we say, I don't know if it's possible. I don't see how these people can be saved at all. We get that way. Ezekiel came from that corner, and I believe that's one reason that statement was generated. Brother Ed pointed out to me this morning after the service that Ezekiel must have been really taken aback by even contemplating the idea of a bunch of dead, dried up bones coming together and suddenly getting life of their own. And that would be almost an insurmountable imagination right there to even begin to try to contemplate something that miraculous happening. But brethren, I didn't say that this morning, but I want to say now that every time a lost soul is saved by the grace of God, this is exactly the transition that takes place right here. It is a miraculous act that God works out on the dead, the dying, those that are lost, the same way that he did with these dry bones that we'll read about as we go on. And he said unto me in verse 4, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Now, I pointed out from this verse this morning that God gave Ezekiel a charge, a commandment. The commandment was prophesy to these bones. And so it shows us that when we plan or are led to do something toward the lost, our first obligation about how we do it and why we would do it is to God Himself, mainly because He's given us the charge to do it. And we have the Great Commission as that charge. But also that I pointed out this morning that when we are charged with and we feel the unction of God to do something for the lost, to speak to them, to prophesy to them, that our charge is much like Ezekiel's was, that it should be personal and it should be intimate. And that's what we get out of the way God put it when he said, prophesy upon these bones. That's personal. And so all our testimony and our witness work and our preaching to the lost be the same way. Verse 5, thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. Now, this is the message that Ezekiel was given from God to give to these folks. That is, God said, here's what, not only do I want you to prophesy to them, but this is what I want you to say to them. Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live, and I will lay sin you upon you, and will bring upon a flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, as he goes on to say in verse 6, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Now, brothers and sisters, I don't know how many of you have read this chapter before and tried to think through the fog of the human brain about what is typed out here in verse 5 and 6. And I know I've heard preachers use this to preach about the beginnings of the regeneration work of God upon the soul of a lost person. And that has some validity to it. But I want you to notice that God tells Ezekiel to preach to these dry bones, and the beginning of the prophecy that he's to give them has nothing to do with breathing into them the Holy Spirit of God to give them the new birth. But it has to do with bringing bone upon bone and sinew upon sinew, flesh upon them, skin covering them, and then put breath in them after all of that is done. And it was after this particular part of Ezekiel's message that God goes on to say, I want you to prophesy to the wind and something else is going to happen. But I'm bringing that out because, brothers and sisters, I believe here in these two verses, verses 5 and 6, God has another message for us that's kind of along the line of what I've been preaching from now and this morning. And that is that this message is to the lost, and I believe that it should be typed out as being to the lost, and it is to remind the lost that God has created them and given them life as they now know it, the physical life. Because this verse here is talking about having the things that belong to a physical mortal life. The skin, the bones, the sinew, the muscle, the flesh, and the breath that I'm breathing now as I'm preaching. That's what these two verses are about. And I believe that part of our message, to make it a complete message to lost folks, that we ought to be reminding folks that are lost that God is their maker. I believe sometimes human beings are able to rationalize away their accountability to God when they intentionally reject the fact that God owns them. And as soon as we begin to preach to them, to lead them to the truth about their need for salvation, I believe one of the elements needs to be to those folks that God owns them, that He made them, that the flesh they have, the bones they have, the capacity as a human they have, and the breath that's in them belongs to God, that He gave it to them by divine fiat. We can talk about the biological birth of a human being all we want to, brothers and sisters, but that birth can't happen without the finger of God acting upon human beings in that process. And I believe that's part of the responsibility we have to the lost, to remind them that they are owned by the Lord. I believe that's what we find here in verses 5 and 6. Now, I'll leave that alone at this point and go on to verses 7 and 8 because we've got more to say. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And reading verse 8 also, and when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Now listen, brothers and sisters, here's another part of this process that Ezekiel is a witness to, and is actually an instrument in bringing to pass. And we notice that in these two verses, that there's one thing that really stands out, first of all, is the great faith that Ezekiel shows in this act. He says, so I prophesied as I was commanded. Now I say great faith, and that's what we need when we go out there in the streets, brothers and sisters, to speak to lost souls, because I reminded you this morning that when God told Ezekiel to begin to prophesy to those bones, there wasn't one word about him planning to do anything with that preaching or prophesying. Wasn't one promise from God to Ezekiel when he first gave him the commandment that he was going to wake anybody up, that he was going to create any human flesh or anything, or put these bones together. He just said, you prophesy to these bones. And so we have to do our preaching, our witness work in much the same way. Not expecting, not thinking, now if I go and preach and I go and witness, now God is going to bring some life out of all that. We don't need to be thinking that way. Our first step, as I've already pointed out, is to remind folks that God owns them. And remind folks that the life they now have, they have because God gave it to them. And then we have to be like Ezekiel, and we have to have the great faith that he shows and just do it because God said it. I prophesied, saith Ezekiel, as I was commanded. Now there's no need for us to go beyond the message of Christ that he's commanded us to deliver. There's no need to go beyond what he's given us to deliver when we go out. We just prophesy as we have been commanded. And we do have a message to preach. We always do, and God will give us something to say if we're really serious about preaching to our valley of dry bones. As I prophesied, says Ezekiel, as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them, he says. Now the Word of God, brothers and sisters, faithfully witnessed, faithfully delivered, can start something in a man that is not yet a spiritual awakening, yet is a movement begun by the Lord. And I believe those verses show us that. You know, when God begins to tell us in the Bible about how salvation comes, do you remember how he says that in a place? He says, for godly sorrow worketh repentance unto salvation, not to be repented of. Well, it sounds to me like God's got something going on here that's typified by these dead bones, and that is godly sorrow is beginning to work. When we preach the Word of God, it ought to suffice us if we can see some kind of sign from the lost folks around us that we're preaching to that something happened as a result of our visit. Old Ezekiel was preaching or prophesying to those dry bones, and he saw skin come together with bones and sinew and flesh, but there was no breath in those preformed bodies that he was seeing there. And yet there was something going on from God. And when we witness faithfully, I believe we can see something going on from God. We have some folks next door, the young man that's the son of the woman lives next door, comes over every now and then and talks to us, him and his wife. And they've got a couple of little babies, and they talk to us from time to time. And they've never shown any indication. They've been here at this church, but they've never shown any indication to seek after God, to do God's will, or to ask about the things of salvation. But I notice every now and then when he comes over and I'm talking to him about the Lord, there's some kind of movement inside of him that's going on. And I praise God for that, because what I've just witnessed is sinew has come upon sinew, and bone has been connected with bone, and flesh has come on there, but there's no breath there yet. But I'm hopeful, just like Ezekiel, because I'm seeing things start to come together. And brothers and sisters, our faithful witness to lost people will be used by the Lord to stir the creature awareness of a human being. I really believe that. And I believe that's what's typified right here in verses 7 and 8 of our text. And we know also that God does work in exactly this way. Any of you that have ever watched a poor lost soul come by gradual little amounts to the foot of Calvary know that this is a good description of it right here. There's some kind of something happens to them, and they begin to get concerned, and maybe they begin to ask questions. Nothing's happened yet in the way of new life, but they're beginning to have something happening. Some sinew is being joined to bones. Flesh is beginning to come on there. Skin is beginning to come onto that body. Something is happening. Now let me give everybody a caution about this particular phase of our witness work, of our faithful prophesying to our valley of dry bones. I believe that it's safe to say that when we drag our feet about dispensing the Word of God, we testify to God, if nobody else, that we don't have any confidence that this right here can happen. I believe our dragging of our feet as a church and as individuals is a mute testimony to God that we really don't believe this could happen, even if we go out and preach to those dry bones. But brethren, I want to tell you, it will happen. It can happen. But we've got to believe that it will happen. And the proof that we believe it will come just like the proof came that Ezekiel believed God when God said, Ezekiel, prophesy to these dry bones. The Bible says, and I did as I was commanded. That's what we need first of all. And when he did, he saw the body start to pull together. Now look at verses 9 and 10 here. The bodies are coming together. There's sinew hooking up, flesh hooking up, and there's bone connecting to bone, and there's skin growing on, but there's no breath in them. Verse 9, then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came unto them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. What do we see in these last two verses that we're looking at here? What is it that we want to see? What should we see about what God is telling us? First of all, I believe that God's teaching us here that understanding the authority given to us by the Lord will help us to preach a message that is Holy Spirit empowered. These two verses give us an imagery of the work of the Holy Spirit on the soul of a lost man. It gives us an imagery of the work of the Holy Spirit upon all men, any man, anywhere that God brings to salvation. This shows us that God said to Ezekiel, I want you to prophesy to the wind and prophesy and say this, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds and do so and so. And so I prophesied, he said, as I was commanded. Brothers and sisters, I think right here is something we as God's people really need to get hold of. If we're going to seek to win souls, if we're going to seek to bring people to Christ, we need to get hold of the fact that we stand in a very central position in God's work of awakening souls. And that central position puts us literally to be a vehicle by which the Spirit of God comes to a lost soul and brings that soul into the light. God could have ordered the Holy Spirit to have come to those bones and given them the life from God, but he didn't. He said, Ezekiel, I want you to preach to those dry bones that have come together now and are laying there as bodies, but there's no breath in them. I want you to preach to them now and preach calling forth the wind to breathe into them. Now, brethren, that's some powerful stuff, because who is sufficient for that? But God wrote it in here. Now, I believe the message to us is plain. When it comes time for God to save a soul, Brother James, you love to use this, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And that's how God does it to this hour. Just like he used Ezekiel's mouth to prophesy to the four winds, he uses the preacher's mouth, the witness's mouth. He uses the testimony of a child of God to cause the Holy Spirit to move into a soul and waken it to newness of life. And that's the way he's always done it, and that's the way he'll do it now. He awakens souls because we preach the gospel, we witness, and we bring the Spirit's power to bear upon those souls that are lost. Listen, I sometimes think when we go out there and we knock on doors and we begin to witness to people, even when they give us an opportunity to say a few words about salvation and the Lord Jesus Christ, we say it haltingly too often. We act like, well, I'm going to give them this gospel message and I'm going to encourage them to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, but I really don't think much is going to happen because we're in this day of falling away and this day of a cold age that we're in. So I don't really think much is going to happen. I think we treat it that way too often. And maybe we ought not to. If we act like Ezekiel, we do as we are commanded, and we, by the power of God operating in us as an instrument, we draw the Holy Spirit's attention down on a soul, and that soul is visited by the Holy Spirit of God, and that soul is made anew by the Spirit of God, brought into the kingdom of God, made to understand the power of God and the salvation in Jesus. So we ought to treat a witnessing session, brothers and sisters, as us being the instruments of God to transfer the Holy Spirit awakening to people that we are preaching to. We are the instruments of God. And that really creates a conundrum for us, brothers and sisters, because I think our big failing as the Lord's people, as a church, is when we fail to live up. And I'm not talking about salvation by works here. I'm talking about living a holy and a godly life for the Lord. We fail to live up to the calling that we have. We are called, says the Lord, with a holy calling. Why would God Almighty bother to call us with a holy calling in the first place? Is it just to sit? Is it just to idle away our time on earth until we get to heaven? Or is there something else going on there in the holy calling of God to us to this holy task? I believe it's about the holy task. I believe He's called us. Ye shall be My witnesses. It's a call. It's a cry. It's a statement that rings through the ages for God's people in all generations. Ye shall be My witnesses. If we say not one word for the glory and the honor and the power of Jesus Christ, we are not those witnesses. And yet He said, you shall be My witnesses. And we ought to see ourselves that way. We ought to see any witnessing session that we have, as I say again, we ought to see it as us being the instruments of God in this great and wonderful and holy and consecrated process of calling the Holy Spirit to focus on this lost soul that we're witnessing to. And brothers and sisters, when we do that, this kind of witnessing will lead to the salvation, the conversion of souls. And I think sometimes, as I've already suggested, I think sometimes our failing as a church and as individual saints of God is because we don't really get down with this kind of thing. We don't get serious about this kind of thing. Let me close this message with something that we at Harmony Church ought to know. And we ought to feel it deep in our souls and bones. If we are who we claim to be, if we are, then we are, in fact, the witness of God in this region of Tennessee. The nearest church that we can say, I believe that church is good and sound, is in Clarksville, Tennessee. If we are the sound church of God's people in this region of Tennessee, what is our task? What is our business? What should we be doing? Somebody says, well, if we had enough members, we would do some pretty big work as a church. No, I don't think we ought to be saying that. I think we ought to be saying, wherever two or three are gathered together in My name by the authority of Christ, there am I in the midst of them. And we as God's people ought to say, hey, we still got two or three. Let's get busy. What can we do? All we can do. And the more we do, when we do what we can do, God will make that can do be a bigger can do. He really will. Now listen, we're in a generation, an age, a time when God's churches are fainting right and left. The numbers are diminishing right and left. The number of individual members and congregations are diminishing. Those numbers are diminishing right and left. We don't have much time. I believe that there are some people in Benton County that are the elect of God. I really do. And I believe some of those people have been appointed of the Lord to be a member of one of His churches. Now, are we going to do something about it? If we don't, nobody else will. It's that simple. Because there's nobody else here to do it. You might say, well, there's a Baptist church in every corner. There's a church on every corner that has Baptists on the shingle, brothers and sisters. What we're talking about here tonight is, are we not the Lord's true called out ecclesia? If we are, we got some work to do. We really do. And we need to be about it. We're going to start the visitation ministry back. It's warm days are longer. In the next couple of weeks, we're going to start it back. I want every one of you members to talk to me personally about what you can do in the visitation ministry. You might not be able to knock doors. And you know how I feel about ladies going out alone. And I'm scriptural on this. I don't care what my opponents say. I don't care what other Baptists say. I don't care. I know what God says about the place of women in the church. So I'm right on that. So let's not get into controversy about that. But for every member of this church, there's something that you can be doing. I need to see that. I need to know it. God needs to see it. So that we can do what we're here to do as God's people and get busy with evangelizing Benton County. You say, well, preacher, y'all been going out every year from sometime late in April to September, October. Yes, we have. But in the meantime, I want to remind us all that this is not a venture for the pastor or the pastor and one or two members. This is a venture for every member of Harmony Baptist Church. There's something you can do. And you might say, well, you know, we can't target, us ladies, we can't target many members to many people out there in the community for us to take a couple of ladies and go visit them, because we don't know that many ladies that we know personally enough to go knock on their door or call them up and get an appointment. Listen, we need prayer. If we can't, if the ladies have nobody that they can scripturally go and visit with and witness to and seek the wind of the Lord, we need prayer. And you might say, well, I get off work so late of an evening. I can't hardly come to the visitation. I can't come down to the church and pray. What you can do is you can let the pastor know, I'm here at home praying for the visitation. I'm here at home working for God to make sure that Harmony Baptist Church can be the light in the community that God has appointed it to be. You can do that. And I believe if we take the first step in faith toward doing the right thing to evangelize this community, I believe God will take us by the hand and take us other steps forward. I really do. I believe He'll use us in a way He's never used us before, and I want to see that. You might say, well, if we need to get out and do more advertising and this and that and the other. What we need to do, brothers and sisters, is we need to evangelize this community. What is the primary business of one of the Lord's churches? Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Preach the gospel everywhere. Well, we do that, preacher, with our missionaries. We support three or four missionaries. We do. Go ye therefore and preach the gospel. That means them, yes, they need to go. And us, yes, we need to go. And we need a total involvement from everybody. So what can we do? We can preach to those dry bones. And how can we do that? By making sure every one of us are engaged in it. Some way. Doesn't matter. You know what you can do. I know what I can do. But we've got to commit ourselves as a church. Otherwise, give us a couple, 3 years, and we're going to be like about three or four churches I've heard of recently. Just this past year, over here in central Kentucky, church closed its doors. Why did it close its doors? Baptist church. Independent, sovereign grace, landmark Baptist church closed its doors. Why did it close its doors? Ran out of members. There wasn't anybody coming except one or two. Well, wherever two or three are gathered together in my name, that's true. But if you don't have a pastor, and there's maybe one member can make it regular and two members can make it some, you don't have any way to keep things going. And that's what is happening to the Lord's churches. We don't want it to happen here. We've got a ministry. The Lord's kept this church here for, it'll be pushing 40 years before long. He's kept us here for a reason. And I think that reason is to evangelize. Let's preach to those dry bones. And let's do it by every member of this church participating in it in some way. And I'm going to tell you something. Not because I've got great things in store for you, because God has. I can promise you great results if we'll all get committed. And you might say, well, preacher, you need to wait and preach something like this when all the members are here. No. No, I'm going to preach to them too. Trust me. I'm going to preach to the ones that aren't here tonight. Trust me. I'm going to preach to them directly. Trust me. But the point I'm making belongs to the people of God who can get things started. And you are here tonight, every one of you, because you're faithful people. And if I had to pick a group of people to preach it to, it'd be this group right here I'd preach it to. Because I can trust and believe that if anybody in the membership would do something about it, it'll be those of you that are here tonight. I'll take care of the rest of it. But let's begin praying about our visitation. Let's begin praying about dry bones in the valley of death. And let's begin praying about our outreach so that we can really reach out with our outreach. And God will bless it. May the Lord bless you tonight to get a burden like Ezekiel did. May God give us, lead us to the valley of dry bones and give us the vision of the very dry bones in the valley of death that Ezekiel saw, so that we will get a real burden for reaching out to the lost. And let us be inspired to do like Ezekiel and just do as we are commanded, as the Bible says He did, and God will bless us.